Hi. This is a really sexy group of poets to be a part of tonight. I don't know. I was getting all hot and bothered in the back there. And I think you guys were too. Thanks to Jimmy and Joan for having me out. Thanks to Don for the sound and recording everything. If you haven't checked out the Hemingway's poetry blog, check it out. The old shows are really great to revisit. So I'm going to read a bunch of pretty recent stuff. This is called Marriage. It's a true story. I have the ring, so. Our friends have rearranged our kitchen, and now the hammer is in the pantry. On the same shelf is peanut butter, virgin olive oil, and that vinegar you call fancy. And for some reason, Callan has left a note in the refrigerator, in the drawer with the lunch meat. And Karen and Tom have covered the yard with sprays of your favorite native weed. And isn't it crazy that people like this exist, and we know them? And can move together with them as time makes its alterations to the sun and to the marks on the wall. And even when I spend a morning folding your sister's underwear without knowing it's your sister's, everything is still fine and occasionally surprising, like finding a turkey wobbling in the birdbath or your favorite parking space empty every morning. This is the 31st Street Bridge poem. How much longer will 28 be closed? I could stop there, right? Okay. And when will I walk across the 31st Street Bridge and visit Christina at the magazine and leave with a bag of books written by the same drunks I see in the bars at night? When it's hard to come by a cab, and no, I'm not from out of town, but I can still dream of raising my arm and commanding a shining yellow fleet of taxis to throw open their doors and whisk me home, who is somewhat sloshed, and not at all embarrassed when I rest my head against the door at the BBT, or pausing to shake the dizziness from my brain, I call you by your sister's name. Seriously, 28. Get on that. This is called Mannish Boy. This is for the poet Bob Paycheck. I published his book, The Trolley Man, through Logos Press. There's still just a few copies left around town at Caliban, Easton Book Exchange, several other places. If you see it, check it out. Bobby's a fantastic poet. I think quite a few of the people in the room can attest to that. I will never know what Muddy Waters thought in his green suit and chunky gold ring as his leg leaps up and crashes down and his cheeks shake any more than I could say on such and such a day Einstein had a hard-on watching the students pass under his ivied window. And I might as well admit I used to spy on our neighbor, a woman known to prepare meals in the nude. The brown medallion of her areolas still brings a tiny pain to my groin. It does. So it should come as no surprise as we sit on a brick porch in East McKeesport, or stumble out of some bar on Electric Avenue, or when Nathan, rolling a cigarette in the booth at Nico's, leans in to laugh at something one of us has said, and someone in the other room yells, "Fuck! Shit!" at the lottery drawing, that I wish I could say how any one of us got here, but really, it doesn't matter. And there's a green suit out there waiting for each of us eventually. This is called Sam and Dave. Or she would have to sit down on the nearest park bench and sit and weep, remembering her mother and the onion rolls on the dinner table every evening, and how sometimes they left the windows open just to feel the rain, and they would hit the buttons on the old radio and play their father's records, first wiping them clean, the way he carefully showed them. And then it would be dancing, and the TV was on, and her mother ran the sweeper, sucking up all the debris they carried every day into the house without a thought of the universes that would shake like salt from sweaters and shoes. The orbits of planets redefined invisibly, and how it continued that way. Two daily newspapers arriving on the morning lawn, the way it was for everyone back then. I need to drink. You should too. Since it's recorded for posterity, my alcoholism will go down in history there. This is called When My Daughter Is Born. We will decorate our rooms with silk flowers and watch as the dust gathers in every fold. The crushing sun of late afternoons will crawl along the dirty windows, and talk will turn to our favorite dictators, Idi Amin, Ceausescu, Pol Pot and Pinochet. And your father will turn over the black earth of the front yard and bury all the sweet things there. As the neighbors drive by in their new Chevrolet, and Detroit rises again to smite all her enemies. And the sound of it will be the same sound heard all up and down Bloomfield when a deer out of nowhere jumped into the morning traffic. And the terrible sound the deer made, writhing on its crushed hip, was almost that sound, keening and awful as a colicky baby. And when the police arrived and put a bullet through one brown, shaking eye, and the sound that came after, when everyone was standing there, not quite sure how to move or speak, and just the click of the traffic lights turning, and all the parishioners and white-haired widows, and that one poor bastard cop and his sidearm, all just standing out there in the day. That's the sound I'm thinking of. A few more. This is called Fixed Bayonets. My wife grew up right outside of Gettysburg. She's not a Gettysburg baby. She made out in the battlefields. It wasn't like a thing. But we were recently down there. So the Civil War has creeped into my subconscious. It's called Fixed Bayonets. We're trading stories in a Baltimore bar. And earlier today, I was drinking from the can in a sunny D.C. yard with a wolfhound, happy to have my hand curling through his coat. And I'm remembering our friends in Pittsburgh and thinking about watching the ponies run at Pimlico. And your sister is somewhere thousands of feet above Ohio. And Seth is on the metro. And there's a real breeze driving across Ortana. Pollen drizzled on the sky and house cats out in the big yards. When we watched not one, but two tourists fall off the rocks at Little Round Top. And I wonder if it's the enormity of the killing that took place here. All that death staining everything the same sorry color. Even though the park's guide assures the crowd, this is where the Civil War was won. As an older couple from deeper in the state tend to the wounds of their boy, and Chamberlain gives the order, fix bayonets. This is called My Wife Goes to War with the Deer, also a true story. She says the deer are monsters, and something has to be done about it. They eat everything we put in the ground, and if not them, then it's the fat groundhog that bumbles around sometimes in the yard, just digging up bulbs and setting them almost tenderly on the sidewalk for us to find in the mornings, as if to say, I found these in the ground and thought maybe you would like to have them. And it makes me think of Walt Whitman carrying his poems all over New York, offering them to a public with no use for the product, But still, he was okay and went often to the opera and took care of the dying soldiers, wiping their faces free of the gore and, if only momentarily, the great terror that must have stalked the rye fields of their brains, creeping into even innocuous memories, like walking to the creek, or the smell of bread in the house as they crossed the room looking for a knife and their loved ones. How's my time? Keep going? Okay. So this one's called Scott Silsby, for the poet Scott Silsby. A sweet boy. We had to cross the street for fresh peaches, smooth our bare palms over the skin, almost like the tiny hairs on the nape of a child's neck. We break the skin with the teeth, toss the pits under a passing bus, and search out polenta, brick oven pizza, and fresh macaroni. The Polish bars line the hill, and in every doorway a beautiful woman with breasts as sweet as pierogi. Oh, my little Haluski, my princess. Oh, my lovely shuttered skyline, drooping like the fresh split lip of a fighter gone punchy. And what if we never write letters anymore? And what if we watch TV all day and no longer remember our own children? The lottery pays out the same if we play or not. And what if March nights, here, in this place together, finally sharing something that matters? And even an idiot knows the police will arrive too late to help anyone, and it will be the moon alone we look to for forgiveness. So it is reading the poems of Scott Silsby, as though we went up on the roof and forgot why we ever wanted to jump in the first place. Thank you for clapping. It allows me to drink more. And it looks like I'm being polite. This is called One More Afternoon in Bloomfield. Sadly, also a true story. And the woman with the bleached head and bulldog face says, "Feel down my leg. I got tight-ass muscles in my leg." And you're at that point in an afternoon of drinking beer by the bottle and beer by the can that you're certain, you are absolutely positive, your asshole is about to fall out and uncork all the secret dreams you keep clenched in your belly, spilling soft fantasies all down in your shoes and across the sidewalk, for all the thrilled and happy children to delight in, while mothers looked on, shocked and aroused, kissing their rosaries and quietly making the sign of the cross. Just a couple more. I'll get out of your face in just a second here. So I don't actually have copies of Last Call here for sale. I do have this. This is Makeout Party. Which is a single poem in 25 pretty short stanzas. There's a game at play here that the title kind of explains. I'm going to read two very short stanzas. It's here. It's $8. I wrote this several years back, and it's just been I just put it out with this beautiful cover art by Paulette Poulet, local artist, designer. If you have a book, if you have anything happening that requires design or artistic talent, contact Polly. She is amazing. So I'm going to read stanza 21 and 22 real quick. It's 21. Heart keeps writing, digging daggers in me. Stick it in your breast and grow your soul of stars. My blonde song, we should be dance of streets, not a dunce of glooms. 22. Not a dunce of glooms, but the browsy beams of gray-tongued sun. My brain, a bang of ganglion. She sang me on the frowsy tin town roofs. Okay, so that's for sale. And this is the last poem. Thanks. Thanks for listening. Thanks for everybody who read tonight. Renee, David, Nancy's coming up. Jimmy, Joan, Don, fantastic, as always. Thank you so much for letting me be a part of this. This is called W. Eugene Smith. Our disappointments keep us human. Little victories tempt us to become believers. Never believe. But trust the city will give new reasons to get out of bed in the morning. Someone at work will say something, and it will be amazing. Someone will say, "Let's have sex right now," and you will. Every light bulb burns out eventually. We keep new ones in the closet by the front door. That way, the dark never lasts long. And though we stumble, arms outstretched, the walls turning to bodies under our touch, the brief mystery of it is enough to convince us there's no such thing as time enough in the light. Thank you.